This is the Real Magic Podcast. Learn about great design and use it to get great results. Now your hosts, Greg Marilise and Alan Nunez.
Hello, listener, and thank you for joining Greg and I today for the Real Magic Design Podcast, where we try and unpack our experience to help designers and business owners understand how to create amazing designs and work together to make design that is profitable. I'm Alan from Pixel Partners, and here is my co-host, Greg from Studio One Design.
G'day, Al. How are you, buddy?
Yeah, I'm awesome, brother. How are you doing?
Excellent, mate. Excellent. It's been a good week. I had lots of exciting things going on. And what have you been up to?
Mate, look, you know what? I have just come back from a trip to the Philippines where, you know, myself and the guys at the office, we went through and planned out our next 1 to 2 years of growth. I mean, it's been an awesome couple of years, but we really want to take it to the next level. Very interesting stuff. You know, we've overcome a few blockages. We've really nailed down our training regime and our checklists. and actually, we're applying the 80-20 rule. Are you a fan of the 80-20 rule, Greg?
Yeah, absolutely. It's, you know, not just for a business, but for life. It's gold.
Oh, absolutely. You know, you know, the whole 80-20 thing and looking at the 20% of the 20%, you know, that top 4% of what you're doing and really focusing on that stuff. And we essentially sat down and everything from our staff, so having a look at who the top 4% are of those team members and making sure that they're advancing as they should be and making sure other people are moving, you know, from the top 20% up into that top 4%. We're doing it with our products, with our clients. I hate to say it, we had to fire a client recently. But again, you know, it's about knowing what we're good at and really drilling down and focusing on that so that our customers get the absolute best quality service in design and imaging that they could possibly get. So it's been really, really awesome. And look, I guess our listeners may not know this, but we actually had a few weeks break because we record in advance. So you and I have been hanging to get back behind the mic. Mate, what have you been up to? Because I know you've been doing some exciting stuff.
Yeah, well, first, just should mention to the listener that this episode's about how to market a design business, so we'll launch into that shortly, but that's pretty much what I've been doing over the last few weeks. You know, I've been recording webinars for private communities. One was for a copywriter. In fact, two were for copywriters. One was for a Facebook ads guru, and, you know, I've been interviewed for other podcasts as well, so... and I also presented live on stage for the first time in my life, which was daunting, but at the end of it, so rewarding. So yeah, that's pretty much what I've been up to, man. And all these things are marketing tactics.
Oh, look, absolutely. And before the business owners that are listening go, oh, you know, you guys are talking about marketing a design business, it's helpful for you guys too. I mean, there are definitely learnings that you can apply to any business. And also too, you know, knowing where the best designers are marketing themselves allows you to find that. I mean, I find it really interesting that you were saying, you know, one was for a copywriter and for AdWords gurus and things like that, because I mean, personally, I think that a lot of the other marketing channels have neglected design for a number of years, particularly online. You know, online was very easy for a long time and people were letting design slip in these things. I mean, think back to some of the early sales pages, Greg. I mean, they were just atrocious, weren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, but in the you know, in the olden days, if you like, even if that was 5 years ago, you know, there was a lot to learn about the internet, and you know, there's so much that goes into like a landing page, and it's all to do with the psychology of the user. So yeah, I guess over the last 5 years or thereabouts, a lot of us have learned what works and what doesn't, and then it's obviously split testing and whatnot. So we have more tools these days to work out what works.
Yeah, look, I think you're right in a way, but I think that, you know, everyone was so focused on conversion that they were neglecting branding and design.
Yeah, good point.
You know, so where you're seeing a lot of the online gurus now realizing that building that brand identity is super important. You know, having consistency across all your channels is important. And I mean, we see it from a wholesale design point of view, where designers are sending us creative briefs for online branding packs where for their clients, they need to see consistency between their YouTube and their Facebook and their website and their display advertising and their Facebook advertising, because they might have had an ad that worked, but there was no brand identity there. So people were dropping off through the sales funnel because the messages at each step were a little disjointed.
Yeah, that's one of the things we talk about in on the webinar that I present. What is the upstream traffic source? Because that's something that we would need to know as a landing page designer, so that we can make sure the look and feel of the upstream ads, and you know, whether it's come from Facebook or wherever, is the same as a landing page. The same sort of language, same sort of imagery, and it all needs to be congruent. Yeah, you're spot on.
Absolutely. I mean, people are using templates, and they're having a professional designer design their ads. And then, you know, people are going from an ad that has a particular color scheme and a particular style and feel, and then they're landing on a landing page that is designed for conversion, but not, you know, not cohesive with their brand or the ad that they came from. So, yeah, that's really, really interesting.
Yeah, cool, man. So we've already touched on a few little tips for marketing. It's all about branding at the same time. It's the same sort of conversation. So I don't know what, let's start off, if maybe kick off with what sort of marketing strategies we use in our businesses. Do you want to kick off your first one?
Look, absolutely. With Pixel Partners, we have some really inherent challenges because we are a trade only supplier. So we can't plaster ourselves in front of everybody. We have to be very selective as to who's getting our message, because the last thing our customers want is for their customers to be coming to us. I mean, we have a very strict policy of turning people away, but that does have its challenges. So we really have to think about that. So for us, things like Facebook, I mean, it's great. We can have one-on-one conversations with the right people. Online and live events. So, you know, going to industry events where designers are present and talking directly to them, and marketing, you know, webinars where we're giving away business tactics, strategies on how to leverage up. A lot of designers really struggle when they have their ebbs and flows of work of how to manage that capacity, and that's what we're really, really good at. You know, we're an on-demand service. So, you know, Greg, I know traditionally you've had seasonal work, right?
Yeah, in the previous version of the business, absolutely.
Yeah, so in those situations, what do? You just work longer hours, and especially you as the business owner, you are probably working some ridiculous hours during those peak times.
Yeah, it's a messy way to work, and it's only since I've started, learning about marketing over the last few years that I've realized there's a better way, and it's all about, you know, having a team, which is something that, you know, a lot of designers might not have initially, but it is something that you should try and focus on building. But it's also to, it's like a seesaw of marketing versus capacity, and you have to just gradually work your way up. So, you know, it's just something that I think overall, it's you need to put more thought into marketing, and you need multiple channels as well, which we'll talk about in a minute.
Yeah, definitely. So for us, it's about being in front of the right people. It's about delivering really valuable content. And I mean, that pretty much summarizes our marketing strategy. Now, we do that through a variety of channels. So this podcast being one of them, content marketing, you know, we are constantly, I think I've mentioned this in the past, but we have a internal program called PXP Excited Every Day, right? And it's basically a Google group where our team share things that they've stumbled across that they find exciting. Now, a lot of it being designers and illustrators and imaging people is obviously around those items. But what that allows us to do is it gives us great information to turn into blog posts and articles and distribute that to where our prospective customers are. They can see the value in our knowledge, and then hopefully they build a relationship with us and they become a customer, you know. And we're after customers that want to work with us. When we're not out to try and you know, hoodwink people into using our service as an alternative to something else. It's all about having a relationship and building value for our clients. So, yeah, Facebook is a killer one for us at the moment. And at the moment, we're actually looking at how do we expand on the social media? Now, how do we use YouTube better? How do we use Pinterest better? Is Twitter a good avenue for us? So there's just so much out there as far as a strategy goes.
Yeah, and so they're all the ways of, you know, bringing in leads, and it's good to have more than one, because if you rely on just one, obviously, you know, if it's even Pinterest, you know, they can change the rules overnight. It happened to us on one of our websites. We had, you know, I think 180-odd followers, and the next day we had zero. It's like,
wow.
Yeah, and then we just Googled it and worked out that there's thousands of people that had the same issue, and they fixed it the following day. But and we had all of our followers back. But yeah, that was a scary time. But the point is, they can change their rules. It's like Facebook could say, okay, no more private groups anymore. So you shouldn't build, you know, you shouldn't rely on just one platform, and you should really build on your own authority blog website, you know, as opposed to any other. You just use these other platforms as your bitch, essentially, to bring traffic back to your site.
Well, it's very much like James Shramko says, you know, you want to own the race exactly. course, you know, so you use all these channels to drive traffic back to you, where somehow you start a communication channel with them. So, you know, some people call it building a list, some people call it building membership. So, you know, for us, it's about putting the content out there, having people come back to our site. Again, being trade only, join as a member. And then once we have you as a member, we can send you directly a lot of that really high quality content.
Yeah, nice. And yeah, you touched on it before, you know, you mentioned sharing your knowledge, and that is the probably the biggest shift in the last few years of what works in marketing. So it's more about educational marketing that A, positions you as the expert, but also gives valuable knowledge to your prospects. So, you know, they get to know, like, and trust you over time. And when they are ready to purchase, they'll come to you.
Absolutely. And they will come to you, because I think I genuinely believe, in Australia in particular, you know, there's a bit of a customer service revolution happening. And I look for the US clients and other people overseas. I know customer service varies a lot. I mean, in some countries you walk into a retail outlet and you get swamped by people wanting to help you. Unfortunately, in Australia, it's the opposite. You walk into a retail outlet and people just ignore you, and it's very difficult to get high quality service, whether it be retail, whether it be, you know, from service providers, the power companies, the telcos. And everyone's, you know, become accustomed to this bad service, that when they find somebody that is delivering them really great information as part of their marketing, they just instantly want to do business with you, you know. Yeah. And it doesn't mean you can take advantage of that. You still need to provide awesome value as a service provider, as a business. Mate, look, I'm really interested. You touched on some of the webinars, podcasts and live events you've been doing. That's something that we want to build on a lot in Pixel Partners, and we're only really just touching on at the moment with the odd guest podcast. And I've done a few live events here in Sydney in front of small groups, you know, sort of 20 to 40 people. Tell me how that's going for you, because I think as a marketing strategy, that's pretty killer.
Yeah, it's really good for a design business as well, or any business for that matter. But for me, what I did was I did three webinars. So one was with James Shramko, which I was privileged to be a part of. And that was amazing, like from the point of view of, you know, it was just a learning process for one. It was a confidence build. It positioned me as the expert, and we got sales out of it. So, you know, I won't go into all the figures, but yeah, the point is we ran Facebook ads to a lead pages, you know, registration page for the webinar. Mind you, we only spent about $200 on the Facebook ads, and that generated 60 people to register for the webinar. And on average, you get around 30% show up, you know, just for various reasons. And that's pretty much what we had show up. And out of that, we had a good percentage of sales. So, Yeah, that was one. That was the like the public paid webinar, which was good results. And then we had I ran one with a private forum community, which is Copy Chief. I'll say that again, copychief.com, with Kevin Rogers, and he runs an amazing forum teaching you know, even designers how to write better copy for sales pages, etc. And yeah, so what we did there was. We ran like our minis forum, and we were getting a lot of questions in the design thread about, you know, how's this going to convert better, etc. So Kevin and I thought, let's just run a webinar, answer all these questions in there, and then put that into his private community. And so that, again, that's positioned me as the expert. And then we had a special offer for his community members, and the results have been amazing. So we've had about, you know, probably 10 sales from just doing that webinar. And then we did the same thing on a private webinar for a Facebook guy, Keith Krantz, and yeah, we had a similar result. So yeah, in my opinion, if you can, you know, if you can do webinars, it's going to be really good for your business, especially if it's a design business.
Yeah, and absolutely. I mean, the people that show up are genuinely interested in learning, and if you can provide that value, you know, the odds of you converting them to a customer later on is very high. And you know what? Even if you don't convert them to a customer, they're still going to become a raving fan, and they're going to talk about you. They're going to tell their peers and their colleagues, hey, you've got to go and check out Greg at Studio One. You know, he's the answer to your problems. He has the knowledge that you need to take your business to the next level in design.
Exactly, yeah. And that's right. And that's all we do on the webinar, just teach people, just answer their questions essentially about a specific topic. So we don't be too broad. We, like on the Copy Chief webinar, you know, we talked about how to turn your awesome copy into a high converting landing page. So it was specifically about landing pages, and we just went deep into every section. So yeah, if you're doing educational style, you know, blogging or webinars, whatever, try and niche it down to one target market and one topic if possible.
And answer that question. I really love what you said there, is that you identified a place where people were asking questions and you've gone and answered them.
Yeah.
And we do that, a similar thing in our content marketing. We use forums. So there's a large photography forum, and, you know, maybe 80 or 85 or maybe even 90% of those people are just enthusiasts. They're not necessarily professionals right now. That doesn't mean they're not going to become professionals. But we go in there and we answer questions on a regular basis, you know, and from those questions, we develop blog posts and we develop tutorial videos, and, you know, we distribute that via the channels, or we let people know that they're available from the channels and drive people back to our site to get that information. So I think finding a great problem, you know, it's a whole big problem, big solution kind of attitude in marketing.
It is indeed, yeah. It's the old, you know, spin acronym for I always forget what the N stands for, but situation is the S, P problem, I implication, and N, I think it's need, but it doesn't really make
doesn't
sense. Sense it should be solution.
Yeah, look, well, I used to train the a PSP, you know, problem, solution, purchase.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, same principle. Yeah, and so if you use that in all of your you know, marketing, including educational marketing, it's a good solution that does work. I was also going to suggest that, you know, you might also look at who, like podcasters, for instance, you know, people in your niche that you follow or whatever, you might want to try and get an interview on their podcast so that you can reach their audience.
Yeah, take it from a couple of podcasters. I mean, we're looking for, I mean, I know early in our podcast here where we are now, we've just been doing one-on-one banter, but we have a list of people that we've been looking for to guest on our show so that we can provide additional value. So a lot of podcasters are actively looking for that sort of stuff.
Exactly.
Look, I mean, we've been talking strategy, right? But I think the strategy needs to tie into some practical tools.
Yeah,
you know, like we'll call it a toolkit. So I'm interested to hear, Greg, you know, what tools do you use in your marketing? I mean, you've talked about doing webinars and things like that, but how do you, you know, what do you use to turn that into a sale?
Yeah, awesome. So number one is probably my website. You know, that is a talking salesperson. That's the first place people go to check you out. So You know, it's actually going through an iteration at the moment. We're doing a complete redesign of it, and it already converts well. But yeah, so the way I have that set up is I have a lead magnet, which is essentially just a free ebook offering people, you know, free tips on how to get a high converting site. And then when they download the ebook, it takes them to a thank you page. In the thank you page, I have a video, which is just a recording of a recent webinar, and that helps position me as the expert. And then underneath the video, we have links to our products, essentially. So we find people will go off and order a product without even speaking to me, which I find is amazing. So yeah, that's one tool that I use, the website. We also on the website use retargeting pixels. So for instance, if you're, I'll explain that. So yeah, retargeting pixels are really for if you're running banner ads or Facebook ads, you know, Google ads, whatever, and you have this pixel on your site. What it will do essentially is for anyone that's visited your site, and you usually put it on a thank you page or you know, a cart shopping cart page or something like that. From that point on, when they're shopping around the internet or just searching the, you know, surfing the web, your ads, if your ads will sort of follow them around the web if they're on a website that has, or if they're on a Facebook or just Facebook in general. Your ads will follow them, essentially, is what I'm trying to say. So it's pretty powerful, and it's really a cost-effective, cheap way of marketing. Yeah, and a couple of other things that we do, obviously, you know, we have automation in our website. So, you know, you don't have to do with a lot of the process manually, from, you know, the invoice to, you know, for one of our sites, we have a shopping cart abandonment sequence where, if they get to the shopping cart and they leave, they'll get an automatic email following them up saying, hey, you know, you've got some items in your cart. Did you want to get them still, et cetera? But yeah, that's they're probably the main things I use. And, you know, I guess we use social media to syndicate. Like, obviously, we use blogging to try and, you know, for a start, get a better ranking on Google, but also to try and educate our prospects if people do land on our site. And then we syndicate that blog throughout social media.
Nice.
Yeah, so that's probably the main things. What about you, Al?
Look, firstly, before I get right into that, I think you underplayed your website. I think people need to understand that it's not just having the website, it's having the website built correctly. And you kind of alluded to that with the where you place your retargeting pixels. So remarketing and retargeting for us is super important because, again, we only want to talk to trade professionals. We don't want our ads showing to end customers, even if they happen to stumble on our site. So, you know, we have landing pages and entire sections of the site which are not in the navigation, that can only be arrived at if they've come via a very specific campaign. So we know that that person is definitely qualified and they're a trade-only customer. And at that point, we can retarget to them. You know, so we're awesome. Some people would say you could waste a lot of your retargeting budget by showing ads to the wrong people and having the wrong people click on them. But in this case, it's more about only showing the ads to the right people. Look, tools, marketing tools for us, things like Infusionsoft, to marketing automation software and sales automation software. As we have grown, it's become increasingly difficult to communicate the right information to everybody at the right time. And I believe that marketing needs to tie right through to after the sale. So a lot of our automation is built, particularly in our earlier days, was built to carry the message right through from when they first joined as a member and making them feel at home and making them feel like they've made the right decision, right through to the purchase, through to post-purchase, you know. So afterwards, have they had a great experience? Are they willing to refer us? I mean, a lot of our work is referral work. You know, one photographer talking to another photographer. You know, they're sitting there having a beer after a job and they're complaining, oh, I'm having a terrible time with my post-production. And this guy says, well, I don't do any.
Do you give an incentive for them to refer?
Look, at the moment, we don't. It is something that we're trying to work in. You and I were chatting before the podcast. I'm rebuilding our entire payment system at the moment to simplify it, and the new payment system will have the ability to give a referral bonus to our customers, because we'd love to reward them. I mean, we don't want to pay them. So it's not an affiliate program. We don't want to pay them for referring somebody to us, but we'd just like to be able to say thank you, you know.
Yeah, nice.
So now other tools, like is it social media? So, you know, we use things like Facebook. And like I said before, we're looking at how do we use the other channels better, because we are using them but not very well at the moment, and we acknowledge that. We don't want to be tied just to one platform. Forums, forum marketing is a big tool for us. You know, niche forums where the people in those forums preferably have paid to be in the forum, and you know that they're eager to better their business in whatever, or their interest in whatever format that is. And then retargeting and remarketing is awesome for us, because it just allows us to maintain our brand integrity across the entire web, but only to the people that we want to show it to.
Just touching on referrals. So, I mean, one thing that I do is for, you know, we design websites, and for some of the websites, some of the people that we design websites for, they have rather large lists, 20,000, 60,000, et cetera. So,
wow, that's huge.
Yeah, so what we do with them is we have a link on either their resource page, or the footer of their site, and it leads back to a dedicated squeeze page back on my site. And so we have one set up individual for each one of these referrers, and in there we have an email that will get sent out to the people that download the free ebook, and we will give them a 10% discount. And not only that, we give them a unique promo code to that referral partner. So when they use that code at checkout, we know which referral partner it comes from.
Oh, I like that. That's great.
Yeah. So that's working really well. We get a lot of opt-ins just from those referral partners. Probably, 80% of our opt-ins are from our referral partners.
Yeah. Look, I think, you know, we've sort of talked about strategies and then tools, but what's coming to light is there's no one magic bullet.
That's right, yeah. You've got to use as many strategies and platforms as possible.
Yeah, and look, for designers and business owners listening, don't get overwhelmed with this. You know, make one work well for you, and then try and automate as much of it as possible, and then move on to the next one and make that work well for you. If you try and do a little bit of everything, you're going to find it very difficult to make it successful, you know. So if you start with Facebook, maximize your Facebook inbound traffic, and then move on to referrals, and then move on to webinars, and just chip away one at a time and build the structure and the systems to make each one work well.
Most definitely, man. Yeah, and so you know, another question I wanted to ask was, you know, I just want to touch on the topic of paid advertising versus marketing. It sounds like you got some insights. Go for it, buddy.
Well, no, I mean, you talked about promoting one of your events with like a $200 Facebook campaign.
Yeah.
You know, and for a lot of the listeners that are listening to this podcast now, when we launched, we did a paid Facebook campaign. You know, so I really love paid advertising. I think in today's online market, it can be extremely targeted and very manageable. So as we went through growth with Pixel Partners, you know, one of our issues was the capacity marketing seesaw that you talked about before. You know, when you sow the seeds, you then have to reap. You have to actually, you know, farm the farm, but you can only do one of those at a time. So we had a lot of issues in the early days where, and to a certain extent, we're still having them now, where we have to manage the amount of new clients we take on because we want to provide the best service. And if we take on too much work too quickly, it means we could end up with a really, really bad reputation. So a lot of people are scared of paid advertising, particularly because of traditional media where, a full-page ad in a publication might cost you $5,000 and you could get no inquiries from it. You know?
And it's hard to measure the return.
Yeah, well,
directly, if you're doing other channels as well.
I mean, if you have the budget, it can get easier today. I mean, you can use specific phone numbers, you can use specific email addresses, you can use specific URLs for those ads. But, you know, the online paid advertising can be extremely profitable. You know, sponsorship of niche sites, targeted display advertising on very, very... I mean, you can target display advertising through Google down to a specific page on a specific website. So let's say you're a plumber and there's an article in the press or a series of articles in the press about a common plumbing issue that's happening citywide in a particular city and there's a specific fix for it. You can tell Google, I want my display ad to display on that page for that article if there's a display, like an AdSense position for it. Now, yeah. That's just impossible. I mean, you would have to negotiate pretty damn hard with a newspaper to get a full page ad opposite that article on traditional media.
Exactly. And it's actually, you know, a hell of a lot more economical to have a very targeted ad on Facebook or Google.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, a lot of the time you're only paying for it if somebody clicks on it.
That's right, yeah. And especially, you know, if it's a long tail key phrase, like you just said, it's got to have this and all these rules around it. So therefore, the target market's a lot smaller, but it's a much higher, potential conversion rate.
Well, that's interesting, actually, because a lot of people think of paid advertising online as search advertising. So the two ads on the top and the ads down the right of the search page, but there is a lot more paid advertising opportunity online than just search. And for Pixel partners in particular, search sucks. I mean, we just cannot spend money on search. It does not work for us. Trying to be sure that that ad shows to a trade-only customer when somebody's designers are not typing in wholesale graphic design services. That's the simple fact of it.
Yeah, right? Understood. Yep.
So they might be typing in freelance designer or freelance illustrator because they need extra capacity, but every other business owner is also typing in freelance designer.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, for us, that just doesn't work. We had to stay right away from that. And we have tested it and we've had mixed results. I mean, we got some really good customers out of it, but it was really difficult to filter those inquiries down to the trade customers.
Yeah, I could imagine. So, yeah, I mean, there are certainly other ways of, you know, you don't have to rely on Google for paid advertising, that's for sure. You know, Facebook has some really good targeted, techniques in their process. So you can do geographic location, you can do, you know, interests, etc. So, yeah, that's one way. But there's also other banner ad networks out there apart from Google.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I mean, look at display advertising in general, you know,
yeah.
As opposed to display advertising and direct media buys. So where you're actually, you're buying that banner ad on a specific site.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, good point. Yeah, and that could be a really niche, you know, industry-specific site.
Yeah, well, even not just on their site, but their newsletters. You know, you can buy Google Display ads to show on some people's websites, niche websites, in the form of the AdSense spot, but you can't buy that same ad on their newsletter that might go out to, like you say, you know, 20, 30, 50, 100,000 potential customers. I think probably the best paid advertising for us at the moment is Facebook and remarketing. They work the best for us right now. We are testing video ads on YouTube at the moment and seeing if we can't get a little bit of traction on that. But just explore them. You know, you talked about the couple hundred bucks you spent to promote the webinar. Are you doing any other paid advertising at the moment?
Not at the moment, no. No, look, on one of our businesses where we tried it, but it didn't work. And that's because it was, for a website that is for the funeral industry. And of course, people don't know when they need a funeral, which is kind of, so yeah, paid advertising and having a lead magnet for that type of business. It doesn't work. So, but anyway, yeah, point is at the moment, you know, we just ran it for the webinar and, you know, what I will be doing shortly when we release our new version of our website in the next few weeks is I'll be having a whole heap of new, educational webinar section recordings throughout the blog, and I'm going to drive paid traffic back to the blog.
Nice.
Yeah, so I'll let you know how that goes for sure.
Well, this is the thing. Like we said before, don't try and do it all. I mean, so you're focusing on your webinars and your content marketing right now. So paid advertising has a little bit of a part in it. But once you've got that humming along, you'll be looking at, well, what's next? And maybe you'll revisit paid advertising and in different formats to see if it works better for you for different things. You know?
Absolutely, yeah.
So when you said you did the stuff for the funeral site, was that search advertising?
No, that was Facebook. Yeah, yeah. And, you know, it didn't work. It's just too hard. And look, we've spoken to people in the funeral industry since and they said, yeah, don't even try it.
Yeah, look, I mean, not every market is conducive to any one particular type of advertising or marketing, you know. So I do think, though, that if you have a paid option that's very manageable, that you have a lot of controls over, it's definitely worth exploring each and every one until you find something that works. Because not only does it allow you to control the amount of inbound traffic that you've got, so that marketing capacity seesaw, but it allows you to test new things really quickly and really easily. So you're talking about your new site and you're going to drive paid traffic to the blog, right?
Yep.
That's going to let you see how different posts convert. And then you can focus on marketing activities that drive people to a specific post that you know converts. So you may choose to do a podcast episode on a particular topic and then refer to the blog post to drive people to it, knowing that that blog post, you know, converts 10x compared to every other one on your site.
Absolutely. And another way of measuring is in the videos, we use Wistia as the video platform. That has really good analytics, so you can see which part of the video people are watching the most. So therefore, it gives us ammunition to create more content around that particular topic.
You know what? That's a really interesting one. I'm going to shoot off on a tangent. I know we're going a little bit over time, but we're nearly ready to wrap up.
Sure.
Wistia has, for designers and business owners, but designers in particular, we often talk about design as far as the visual layout of things and the branding, but a video needs to be edited and choreographed and designed essentially to be optimized. And Wistia, if you go to their website, they have got an awesome video on how they had one sales video and they used the analytics from their own service to re-edit it and actually get engagement all the way through to the video. Have you seen that one?
No, I haven't, but I love their style of educational video marketing. It's incredible. They're really cool.
Yeah, let's get that link into the show notes because
that
just sort of puts into perspective how important, you know, conversion is and getting it right, and not just in the way you lay out your landing page, but the content that you're putting on it as well. So.
Exactly. So that leads to our killer tip and listener action, and you've got a beauty.
Oh, you go first. I want to level.
Well, yours is so relevant.
Okay, all right. My killer tip is test. Don't assume anything. You know, I made assumptions with Pixel Partners that particular things wouldn't work and they have worked. I assumed other things would work and they didn't. So the only way to know is to go out there and have a crack. Well, that's probably a bit of an Aussie colloquial term, but have a try, have a go. And just if it doesn't work the first time, don't write it off. You know, have a look at why it didn't work. Is there something else you could try? I mean, you talk about this in the way you design websites and landing pages all the time. You know, split test. You know, don't give up on it. Set yourself a budget and go out and do it. And in every marketing or advertising budget you set, you need to allocate a certain percentage that you're willing to write off at the beginning, and you need to make back at the end once you've got that particular channel working for you.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, what's your killer tip?
Yeah, it's really just, just start, right? If you don't have any type of marketing, what I would suggest is try and give away something of value for free. And what I'm going to say here is try and be unique. So there's obviously a lot of stuff that's out there that's for free. So try not to be like everybody else. Try and be unique. And to give you an example, what we do, for one of our marketing techniques is we give away a free t-shirt design to any podcaster or marketer that has 10,000 plus fans. And they absolutely love that. You know, they all take it up. As long as we can put it on our website to start selling them, we you know, split the profit. But because it's something unique that they can't get anywhere else, that works really well.
That's a really unique giveaway, you know, and there's a cost involved for you to give that away. But would you say the lifetime value of that new client is worth it?
Most definitely. Because we target people with big lists, what we're actually planning on doing, sure, the t-shirt is amazing and we get, you know, revenue from that, especially when they order a couple of hundred for an event that they're running. But apart from that, what it's doing for us is it gives us the opportunity to connect with leaders that have big lists. We're building trust with them over time, and then eventually our goal is to get on their resources page too, or for them to refer, you know, their client list to us. So yeah, that works.
So with a free simple giveaway, you've signed them up as a client in one part of your business. You then communicate with them, build trust, and you take them across to a much higher value part of your business.
Yes.
Oh,
yes,
I love that. Is everyone writing that down? Okay, pause the podcast now, write it down.
I love it. And now we're about to end.
All right, you're back from writing it down? Awesome. Yeah, we're going to wrap it up. All right. Well, look, I'd like to say thanks, Greg, for getting on this podcast with me today, and farewell and thank you to the listener. We would love it if you could leave a 5-star review on iTunes and go to therealmagic.com and sign up so that you know when the new episodes are live. You don't want to miss it because there is some gold in these episodes. Thank you very much, listener, and thank you, Greg.
Yeah, pleasure. And one more thing, if you have learnt anything that you think you could use into your business, or if you have used it in your business, leave a comment on our blog on the website specific to this post, and we'll be in there as well interacting so we can give you feedback. So thanks for listening.
Awesome. Thanks, Greg. Have a good one.
Take care. Cheers, mate. Bye.
Thanks for listening to The Real Magic Podcast. Hear more at therealmagic.com.